Hey, good morning, church. Welcome to worship at Central Church this morning. I'm Pastor Dale, and it's good to be with you for worship online and through our radio program this morning. I do hope that you're feeling God's grace and goodness in these days of separating and in-home shelter. Please continue to take care of yourselves, those you're with, and love your neighbor. Reach out to your neighbor as you're able to do that also. Hey, if you're watching online this morning, I want to encourage you to let us know you're tuning in, where you're watching from, who you're with. We'd love to hear from you. It's a great way to connect further as community, maybe to see some familiar names and new names as well. So welcome to visitors who are listening and watching this morning too. Hey, during this time of staying home and staying safe, I think we all agree that the days seem to kind of run together and time seems to run out a bit. But I want you to know that, you know, as Christian community, we continue to mark sacred time. And what that means is that this is Palm Sunday. And this is the beginning as well of Holy Week. And that means next Sunday is Easter. And I want you to know that between now and then, we're going to have a Good Friday worship service. Pastor Chris and I, along with several other pastors here in Traverse City, are going to be meditating on the seven last words of Christ. And you can find that service noon Good Friday and watch it through the Facebook page or again through our webpage also. You know, while we are pre-recording these services midweek at this point, I want to say that, you know, God shows up whenever and however we try to connect over the gospel. And so I hope that you'll lean into these times with expectation, sensing God's nearness, and also keep each other in mind and visualize your neighbor as we worship together. Speaking of connection, there are several online adult classes that are meeting at different times during the week, and you're invited to be a part of those opportunities. Our children's Sunday school class is gathering at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and for Wacky Wednesday, 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, and we'd love for the kids to be a part of that. I would also say that the youth are gathering, connecting through their Facebook page, and so please continue to keep each other in mind and be a part of community and grow in the ways that you're able to. And again, I just want to say all of this is available through Facebook and now the church webpage. You can watch things live through the webpage now. So if you're used to reading or listening rather through the radio programming, try to check it out on the webpage now and watch us live there. Lastly, a reminder that while the church building is closed, there are a few of us here doing essential things, and we want to be here for you in the ways that we're able. So the best way to do that is to leave messages at the church office. If we can't pick that up immediately, we'll get back to you, or please send us emails also. Friends, Christ is with you, with us all as we worship in this time. So, hey, let's sing to the one, as the psalmist said, who is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble.
Thank you.
Hey, Church, I want to invite you to join me in this time of prayer and opportunity for us to pray for those in need today and as well to lift up our own needs to God. Let's go to the faithful one who hears our prayers. Oh God, who is our help and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, we come to you today. It seems like so many people need our prayers, and so we lift them up to you. We pray first for those whose health is compromised by this coronavirus or so many other health issues that may affect their health, for those who are suffering from the economic impact of the virus, travel, manufacturing, hospitality, or energy, so many other industries. God, we pray for them. For healthcare workers and first responders, for other public servants who put themselves in harm's way for us, for our leaders, leaders of the world, our country, state, city, as they seek to help manage this challenge. And beyond all of that, so many others all around the world who are struggling, oh God, we pray. For those who live in places of conflict and war, for those where hunger and drought are ever present, for those who lack medical care at all, for our Christian brothers and sisters, and for people of faith all around the world who are persecuted for their beliefs, we pray. For those who live with physical or mental illness, for those who are homeless, for those who face domestic abuse, for those who live with food insecurity right here in our city, God, we pray this day. And in a quiet moment, we lift up our own prayers to you. I even invite you, friends, to name aloud the prayer on your heart today. Oh God, it can be overwhelming, but we know that you tell us over and over again not to be afraid, that you hold us securely in the palm of your hand. So show us again, oh God, how to trust in you. How our own problems and concerns can seem small when we open our eyes to the needs of others. Oh God, as we examine our hearts in this Lenten season, help us to repent and turn away from our self-concern and turn our hearts, our hands, our prayers toward the concerns and needs of others. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And together say the prayer that unites us together around our monitors and together with Christians all over the world. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
morning, friends. Hey, the gospel lesson I'm excited to share with you is it speaks of feasting as Christ has in mind for us. This is John's take on some of the story around the meal, the great meal Jesus shared with his followers, his disciples, at the Jewish Passover feast. They were all faithful Jews. And the meal that we've come in the church to call the Lord's Supper. This is just part of that reading. It goes like this. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to go back to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel that was tied around him. After he'd washed their feet, he put on his robe and he returned to the table and he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, what have you been eating while you've been hunkered down in your homes in this time of quarantine? Are you eating well? Are you balancing those nachos and burgers, hopefully with some sensible salads and maybe taking it light on the desserts? That's kind of my work here lately. Food has always been core to church people gathering. From the early Christians, the earliest Christians who met in homes to tell testimony and sing songs and read some of the gospel together, all the time a spread of food was before them. In fact, the worship was always built around a meal. That's why I want to ask you to do something probably you've never had a preacher ask you to do during the service. I want you to have something on hand to eat while we're meeting here. Today, I've put on this side table, I've got the elements of Holy Communion that we'll share together when we come back together. But I've also brought my own little snack. I've got some apples and cheese here I'm going to be snacking on while we're talking. So I mean it. I want you to get up and go have something on hand to eat. And here I am, assuming you're not already eating. But have some fun with me. Let's do that. Because we here at Central would have trouble imagining any of our worship gatherings not being within easy reach of our cookie and coffee table, wouldn't we? Am I right? Worship and food go together, for it speaks of hospitality and communing with each other and even touching into our deeper hungers for God and God's ways in our lives. Food and worship do go together. So we just heard the gospel story of Jesus showing this great love to his friends that night, first by feeding them and then by washing their feet. All of that meant to show them what it looks like to lead by serving. That was Jesus' big message to them. And to remember who we are by remembering that God is at our center. I think that's what we do in worship, isn't it? And don't we all play that out, that same story, every time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Eucharist, all of that means the same? Well, it's not lost on me, friends, that today in this great room, this sanctuary, is when we would have shared Holy Communion together as the church. It's the first Sunday of the month. Yet the quarantine we're in meant that we need to put that on hold for now. So I say let's get creative. Because there are moments when food shared in church can bring you close to God and closer to our neighbor not just at the times of Holy Communion. So indulge me here, if you would. If you haven't done so, I want you to have something on hand to eat. I'm going to be nibbling while I preach. Because there's a great tradition in what we're doing when we eat a meal with each other. I'll take no offense, whatever you're eating. I did have some pizza in the refrigerator, but I thought, I better not bring that in. I'd like you to nosh and eat and sip your coffee. For all of that is a part of the agape love feast that comes out of our Methodist roots. You ever heard that phrase? The agape love feast. It's my goal today that we can all be kind of intrigued and familiar with this idea. But first, you're going to have to meet the Moravians, okay? The Moravian Church was a group of Christians that were known to be in Prague, as well as parts of Germany, or Saxony, as it was at the time. They were really one of the first Protestant groups that broke off from the Roman Catholic Church, criticizing the church for some of its practices, even before Martin Luther did. Okay, so an important group. They fled for their safety, and a man by the name of Count Ludwig Zinzendorf, how do you like that name, in Germany, accepted them and gave them refuge on his estate. And it was there, under the care of this man who gave them sanctuary, that they developed this interesting service where they would come together for a time of eating food and spiritual conversation and breaking out into song and reading gospel together. It was really a powerful thing, and it impressed others. You might say it was kind of like a church potluck dinner on steroids, okay? So when John Wesley and the early Methodists crossed paths with those Moravians, they were profoundly affected by this deep sense of faith and groundedness and singing and loving fellowship that was in those Moravians, often around food being served. Hence, this came to be known as the Agape Love Feast, brought into the Methodist early movement thanks to those Moravians. And it was a great way to pray and sing and give testimony and celebrate what God's grace is doing in the world when you couldn't have normal church. That's some of how this service was given rise. When you couldn't have normal church, or when people were separated from each other, or when pastors could not be present, or when words of consecration over the bread and cup could not be spoken properly. So I thought about us today, even remotely, giving ourselves a taste of that love feast experience. For don't you agree that in these days, we could all use a little love feast? This week, I read about a man who came visiting Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. In that town is where many of the German Moravians came and settled, and there are Moravian churches that abound and are thriving in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So the visitor went, and he later wrote how in the middle of that worship service, greeters had cups of hot coffee brought in on trays and began passing them down the rows in the middle of the worship service, mind you. And just a little bit later in that same service, in came the greeters and ushers again, this time with sweet buns on trays, and distributed them down each row to go with the coffee and the singing and the praying. This visitor later said, it was clearly a holy rite, solemn but joyful. It wasn't even what was said or sung. It was that the act of eating and drinking with what was said and sung and being caught up in that moment that I felt as if God was nourishing my faith in a way I hadn't experienced before. You might be thinking, this isn't that different from having cookies, is it? But I ask for these few moments. Let's enter into the rhythm of the love feast. I'd like you to learn a little bit of what it was about, because it's a great repeatable experience that you could do with others. with a bit of song and prayer and gospel and spiritual conversation. I know this morning that we're probably in 100 households coming together around this service, eating and listening, each in our own private domicile. But use your imagination with me a little bit. And that helps us to see that we really are right here, right now. We are the gathered church, eating and listening together. So in a love feast, it would commonly begin with a hearing of the gospel. I want to tap the last few verses of what we heard earlier from John. After the meal and after Jesus had washed their feet, he put on a robe and we returned to the table and he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." And then someone might get up and reflect on the gospel, saying something like, "Isn't that the rhythm of our life in God? Just what Jesus was doing with his followers. Because over and over, we are built up in Christ's presence when we gather in worship and gather around his teachings, so that we can then go and build up our neighbor, especially those who suffer, who need reminders of great hope." That was Jesus' instructions at the great meal he hosted. You see how worship and food even go together with Jesus. So in the love feast, after someone might have shared the gospel reading, someone might break into a song at that point. And I'm thinking about a song. I've been thinking about it all week for this gathering. It's the little chorus. It's the chorus from the song that we sing at the well here on Sundays. It's one of our favorite songs. "Hold Us Together" by Matt Maher. I confess that I really would like, if Jeff was here on the piano, to do it right with us today, but I think we could give it a whirl. It goes like this. "Love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not alone." Hum it with me. Come into a piece of that, can you? "Love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my sister's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not alone." And about that time at the love feast, somebody across the table might offer up a prayer. I would offer this one. "Oh God, we place our hope in you these days, and we ask that we would be very aware of our neighbors, and even a better society on the other side of this virus. For we are all vulnerable and we need each other. So remind us in these days that people matter more than things. We will look to do better in Christ. Amen." And then around the table, someone might feel the spirit inside of them that they have a little story to share about their life, a testimony, if you will, a life occurrence where they witnessed something about God. And I've got one. It comes from Peg Featherstone in our church. Peg, who wrote this response to my blog post last week. I want you to hear it. She says, "I'm a widow, living alone and feeling even more lonely with the self-isolation required of us in light of the coronavirus fear gripping our world. While preparing my coffee this morning, I was looking out of my kitchen window into brilliant sunshine, dazzling blue skies, but also on my half-dead rose garden in the courtyard of my condominium that I moved into after the death of my beloved husband. Those rose bushes are much like me," I sighed, feeling quite blue. "But suddenly, I noticed the sunlight shining on bright green branches at the base of the rose bush. Yes, they live. They're going to make it. My mood was transformed in that moment. I was actually smiling, thinking about the beautiful roses and becoming and filling my rose bed all in due time. I felt God's presence so deeply at that moment and embraced, remembering his promises to us that he would not forsake us. I felt with a certainty of my faith that healing and beauty would be forthcoming, not only to my rose garden, but to me and to the world as well in due time. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Peg, for that beautiful testimony. Can't you just imagine at the love feast, if we were all in the same room, someone would surely get up from their seat and go around and give Peg a big hug at that point. So we're sending you virtual hugs right now, Peg, okay? Hope you can feel it. And everyone would still be eating. Hey, just checking on you. Are you doing your part? Are you pulling your weight out there eating? Okay, because that's part of the love feast. Have a bite of apple, a little bit of cheese here.
Good.
Nice to know you're doing your part. Then about this time in the love feast, someone might ask to sing a verse of a great old hymn, Amazing Grace. Not just any verse, but in the season of coronavirus, this verse. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Sing that with me, will you? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And next, somebody might think of one more scripture that seems to go with that other one about serving the neighbor. This one is one of the most beautiful passages Paul wrote to the Romans. It's a little piece in Romans chapter 12 that goes, "Let love be genuine, hate what's evil, hold fast to what's good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and extend hospitality to strangers." Yeah, and I could see people nodding because that so rings true with who we're created to be in community. A final testimony would be offered next. Somebody telling how God is revealing new truth to us, even in this hard time. It would be words that are powerful, meant to both comfort and cajole and convict us. So I want to offer you, here's a piece of a testimony from Walter Brueggemann in our church, who sent this to me for today. Walter's testimony says, "It is possible to trust that the God of the gospel is in, with, and under the crisis of the virus without imagining that God is the cause of it, as God often does in hidden ways. God may be amid this crisis to do the hard work of checking arrogance and curbing hubris. We are pressed back to basics. The God of the gospel, however, not only curbs and checks our excessive ambition, we may imagine God doing a new thing among us. Perhaps we are arriving at a new neighborly normal. Imagine we are treating prisoners differently, even releasing some who constitute no threat. Imagine we are mobilizing generous financing for needy neighbors who must have resources in order just to survive. Imagine we're finding generous provisions for students and their debts. The new thing God is making possible is a world of generous, neighborly compassion. It is before our very eyes. The God who does this new thing has also said, do not remember the former things. Oh, we have so much we will do well to forget. We may forget punitive measures toward outliers. We may forget parsimony, meaning stinginess, toward those in need. We may forget predatory policies toward the vulnerable. The good news is that we need not go back to those old ways that are punitive, parsimonious, and predatory. We can embrace a new normal that is God's gift to us. And at our love feast, don't you just think there would be a moment of quiet right about now to let that word sink in? For this is a gospel that asks us to grow and stretch towards God's feast meant for all, and even seeing that a pandemic can be our teacher. So the whole crowd is quiet there for a moment. And with the love feast growing to a close about now, someone rises from the table to ask if they could just offer one final prayer. It's the great prayer of St. Francis that is so right for this season, so that everyone who's been fed would hear God's call upon us to also feed others. So please pray with me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace in this time of coronavirus, so that where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For we know it is in giving that we receive. It's in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we were born to eternal life. Amen. The end of the love feast. That's a taste, pun intended, of the love feast, friends, having its root in the Moravians, but also being found in our Methodist inheritance. You can try this at home, which I know you have here for the last few minutes, but you could also do this with your family intact, just away as dinner is concluding, to talk about where have you seen God today? What is the scripture? What's a song that has you know that God is with us in these days? This is a wonderful little repeatable experience that anyone can lead. I do hope you have sensed Christ in our little feast here. May this time of worship, of knowing God's nearness, be like food that fortifies us to love where love is needed, stand with those who are frightened or are sick or are grieving or have just gotten out of jail, or just people who are not sure what's happening next and it causes them great anxiety. May we stand in all those places, for I believe every ounce of our compassion is going to be called on in the days ahead. We need worship together, like good food that gives strength. But along the way, let the feasting on God's grace continue in us all. We all have something to give. Amen. And now, we respond to the word by making gifts to Christ Church and to committing with God in ways that we are going to share who we are and what we have in the week that is before us. God bless.
I'd like to pray over the offering today and as well pray for us as we give ourselves and in the best way we can to God and for Christ's work in our world. Would you pray with me? Oh, blessed Lord, we offer our lives to your message of salvation. You've given us a gift of enduring and steadfast love. Oh, multiply the gifts we bring so that they may share that full measure of your joy-filled message throughout our community and throughout our world. And on this Palm Sunday, we say, as those of old, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. I want to leave you with this traditional blessing, the words of Moses to his people and my word to you as we close. For you are my people and we are God's people together. Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.